Christian's relation to the law. In the context of this sermon and really throughout the New Testament, the law is referring to the law of Moses, the Old Covenant law. We could talk about our relationship to the law of the land, our relationship to the law in which we live in this country, but this is talking about our relationship to the law of Moses. And so there are many in the religious world that want to combine the Old Testament and New Testament, somehow put all that together some way and make us accountable to the law of Moses as well as the Christian law. And I've heard people say, all you got to do to be saved, keep the Ten Commandments. Well, the Ten Commandments are the old law. And this is exactly what Paul is talking about when he says, by works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. And so we want to look at our relationship. There's so much confusion today about the relationship between grace and law. As Christians, we're not saved by the law of Moses, but by the grace of God. However, we are to fulfill our responsibility to the law of liberty, and we'll be judged by how well we do so. The law of liberty, referring to the New Covenant law. We cannot be saved without God's grace. Therefore, we can say we're saved by grace alone. It's only by the grace of God that we're going to make it to heaven. But many times when that terminology is used, it's saying that our works have absolutely nothing to do with our salvation, and that's not true. We will see that no one will be in heaven without God's grace, but no one will be in heaven without doing the will of God either in the New Covenant. And so what we do does have something to do with our salvation. First of all, we want to consider that we're not saved by the law of Moses. When Paul talks about not being justified by the law or law, he is referring to the law of Moses. And in the context, we see that. We are not saved by the law of Moses, Romans 3:27 and 28 says. Where is the boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from deeds of the law. Now, many in the religious world just think of we're justified by faith apart from our deeds. But that's not what he's saying here. He's saying by the deeds of the law, by doing, fulfilling the Jewish law of the Old Covenant. And so that's what he's dealing with when he says the law. Galatians 2:16, knowing then that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in him. Now, sometimes people get a little off on this also. When they say we're justified by faith, then they conclude faith only. But that's not what the scriptures are saying. Paul is dealing with those who want to be justified by the law. And so that's what he's dealing with. Christ and not the works of the law, for the works of the law no flesh shall be justified. Galatians 2:15 and 16 says, by law no work shall be justified. The works of the law. Galatians 5, verse 4, you have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. And so if you want to go back and think that you're going to be justified by keeping the Ten Commandments or keeping the old law, you've fallen from grace. If you want to be judged by that, then that's going to be a pretty harsh judgment. But if you want to be judged by grace under the New Covenant, then it's much better than being judged by the Old Covenant. As I've said many times, just go back and look at Leviticus and Deuteronomy and read that if you want to know how difficult it was to keep that law and how thankful we should be to be under the law of grace. Galatians 2:21, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. And so again, he's not talking here about faith only. He's talking about being justified by the law. And he refers to faith and grace a lot. And that's the reason Peter, in his book, says the Apostle Paul said some things that were hard to be understood, and many people twisted, and we see that, twisted to their own destruction, and we see that in the religious world today, when people conclude that we are saved by faith alone, apart from any action on our part. Acts 13:39, and by him everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. There's some things the law of Moses can't deal with, can't justify you, can't pardon you from your sins, but the blood of Jesus could justify from all things, even those things which could not be justified by the law of Moses. So we're saved by grace, and without grace, we cannot be saved. And I think most people would agree with that, that without grace, we cannot be saved. Romans 3:24, but being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, it's important to note that that redemption is in Christ Jesus. And if we look at the scriptures about how we get into Christ, it's always through baptism. But many people who believe in faith only want to say baptism has nothing to do with your salvation. But if it's what's put you into Christ and redemption is in Christ, then how can you say baptism has nothing to do with your salvation? And so that's one of the problems they run into with trying to say that we're saved with faith and what nothing we do has anything to do with our salvation, because baptism does. Ephesians 1, 6 and 7, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And again, we have this redemption through his blood. And we contact that blood when we're buried with Christ into death. Through our baptism, we're raised to walk in newness of sin, of life. 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to the works, to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Again, given to us in Christ. And so the only way we can get into Christ is through baptism. And so those who want to discount baptism are saying that we can get into heaven without redemption, without forgiveness of our sins, without here even being saved. And so they miss the point of what Paul is dealing with here. And they twist his statements to their own destruction. Ephesians 2, verses 5 through 8. Even when we were dead in trespasses, we were made alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And so that's a problem sometimes to people. What we do does not give us our salvation. We can't shake our fist in the face of God and say, look, God, I did this, this, and this, and so you owe me my salvation. No, we're only saved by God's grace. None of us live perfect lives. We need the grace of God. It's only by the grace of God that we're going to make it to heaven. And so this is pointing that out. Our works are not going to get us to heaven, but that doesn't mean we don't need to do anything. And that's one of the failures of the faith-only doctrine. And so by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It is by his grace that we will make it. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. It's interesting that most commentators who have scholarly credentials say that this washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit is referring to baptism. It's Acts 2:38, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so we see that washing of regeneration or rebirth, we're born again at our baptism, and we receive the Spirit to renew us at that point in time also. And so again, we see baptism connected to his mercy and his salvation, that it's only in Christ that we can have salvation, and the only way we can get into Christ is through our baptism. It's not a work in the sense that some people want to call it a work. It is a work of faith. And so those things are required of us. And we see then that grace produces works in Christian. The purpose of grace is to cause us to want to do the will of God. In Galatians 2:20-21, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. If you could be righteous by just keeping the law of Moses, why did Christ come, he's saying? Christ died in vain if you can be saved by keeping the law of Moses. And so obviously we needed that. And he says here, I do not set aside the grace of God. Grace is what caused that to happen within him, those works to be there. I've been crucified with Christ. That happens at his baptism. He died with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And so he lives by faith in the Son of God who loved him and gave himself for me. That caused him to want to start living the Christian life and be obedient to God. Grace should produce works in Christians. Galatians 5:18, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And so here he refers to the Spirit that was received at baptism. Then you are not under the law. You're not under the law of Moses any longer. Romans 6:14-15. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. So he says we still have responsibility to keep the will of God. We cannot be disobedient to God and expect salvation. That grace should cause us to want to work and to labor for God. So once we are buried with Christ in baptism, we're raised to walk in newness of life, a new life, being obedient to the will of God and wanting to do his will because of what he did for us. Because of the grace that he bestowed upon us, we should be wanting to do that work. 1 Corinthians 3:10, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds upon it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. And so here Paul is saying that according to the grace of God, I have laid the foundation. I worked because of the grace of God. And so that should always be our desire, to work because of the grace of God, to live for him since he died for us. 1 Corinthians 15:10, but by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. Why was it not in vain? Because I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. So Paul says the grace of God caused me to do all of the things that I do. When I realized that Jesus died for me and I was buried with him in baptism, my sins were washed away. This is what Paul is saying here. Remember, his sins were washed away. Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. That happened at his baptism. And so he is what he is because God's grace was working in him. Everything he did from the point of his baptism, from the point of his new birth, he did because of God's grace. And that should be the reason we labor today also, is because of God's grace. 1 Corinthians 1:12, for our boasting is this, the testimony of our consciences, that we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God and more abundantly toward you. So he says, by the grace of God, we conducted ourselves in simplicity and God's sincerity. We work because of the grace of God. In 2 Corinthians 6:1, we then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Those who believe and depend on faith only to save them are receiving what they claim the grace of God. It's not going to do anything for them. That's empty grace. That kind of grace is not going to do anything for you. If you're not willing to work and labor, that's the grace of God in vain. The grace of God will cause us to want to labor and want to work for the Lord. That's what it does within us. It produces works within us. Now, we are under law as Christians. Christian works are necessary for salvation. And so some people want to say, well, you're just not under any law at all. And so God doesn't require anything of you. Have you ever heard someone say, Christ did it all on the cross? His going to the cross did everything that needed to be done for me to be saved. Nothing I do can have anything to do with it. He did it all. And so that's what many people believe. But we are under the Christian law of liberty. Paul said he was under law of God in Christ. In 1 Corinthians 9, verses 23-21. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those being without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. So we see from this that Paul is saying, yes, I'm under law, but I'm under the law of Christ. And so Paul never intended for people to think that there was no such thing as law for a Christian. He says, I'm under the law of Christ, but I'm not under the law of Moses. And that was his point and his argument throughout. James 1:25, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So we are under the perfect law of liberty, of the new covenant, and we must do the work, do what God asks us to do as Christians. We have that responsibility. And it's going to be necessary for us to do those things if we're going to be saved. James 2:8-12. If you really fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become transgressors of the law. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. And that law of liberty is the new covenant, the law of Christ, as Paul called it. Grace does not allow unrestrained sin for Christians. And so there are many who who believe that faith only will save them. All they got to do is believe in Jesus and they'll be saved, and what they do in their life has nothing to do with their salvation, so they go about living sinful lives, thinking that they're going to be saved in spite of their sin. Because Jesus did it all on the cross. He did all that could be done to accomplish my salvation on the cross. What I do has absolutely nothing to do with it, they say. And so it's so important for us to recognize that grace does not allow for sin. Romans 6, 14 and 15. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under law but under grace? Certainly not. And so Paul made it clear, no, you cannot sin just because you're under the law of grace. That does not permit sin in your life. You're still just as responsible to God to live holy lives as you would have been under the law of Moses to live holy lives. Jude 1, for certain men have crept in unnoticed who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of God into lewdness and deny the only Lord and our Lord Jesus Christ, the only God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So they're saying they turn the grace of God into lewdness and say you can do whatever you want to under the grace of God. And so Jude is saying, no, you cannot do anything you want to under the law of grace. The grace of God does not allow people to do just whatever they want to do. 2 Corinthians 6, 1, we then as workers together with him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. If you go on sinning, the grace of God is not going to deal with that unless you repent and confess that, of course, and stay away from those things. And so we're under law as Christians, but Christian works are necessary for salvation. We are under the law of Christ. Hebrews 10, 26 through 29. For if we sin willfully after we have received a knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? Those who think they can go on sinning as a child of God are insulting the Spirit of grace. They're receiving the grace of God in vain. It will not do what they expect it to do. It will not save them because they have been disobedient to God. I remember studying with a woman once who was a Baptist, and she did not believe that she thought she was saved by faith alone. And so I asked her, do you think you can deliberately disobey a command of God and be saved? And she said, no. And I said, well, baptism is a command of God. So if you believe in faith only, that baptism has nothing to do with your salvation, how can you disobey that command and expect to be saved? And she admitted that you couldn't. And so that's what everyone who believes in faith only should admit, that it's impossible to be saved without baptism, because it is the baptism that washes our sins away, gives us remission of sins, puts us into the body of Christ, puts us into the church, and so many things that baptism does that we've looked at in the past. Obedience and works are required of Christians. Matthew 7, 21, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. There are many in the religious world today crying out, Lord, Lord, but they're not doing the will of God in their lives. And they're going to be lost, and they're going to be shocked that they're lost, because that's what he's saying. Many are going to say to me, Lord, Lord, but they're not doing the will of God. He will say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And so because they were disobedient to God, And some of them were not even in Christ. They had disobeyed him in baptism and never entered Christ. And so he never knew them. They never were a part of his body because they were not baptized into Christ. 1 Timothy 6:17-19, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them that are rich be in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. And so their willingness to give, as we talked about this morning, is directly related to their salvation, to their laying hold of eternal life. What they do with what they have as rich people determines their salvation. And the same thing is true with us. Romans 2:7-12. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek, but glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for there's no partiality with God. For as many have sinned without the law will also perish without the law, and as many have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. And so it is by doing good that we seek for glory, honor, and immortality. That what we do does have something to do with our salvation. Paul makes it very clear here that you cannot be disobedient to God and expect salvation. In Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. So we as the people of God need to be zealous for good works because, as we mentioned earlier, the grace of God will cause us to do so. James 2:14-18 and 20-22. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says that he has faith and does not have works? Can faith save him? And that has to demand in the Greek language a no answer. So no, his faith cannot save him. Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. How much clearer can you get than that? But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. In other words, Paul says, how can you show me your faith apart from your works? He says, you can't do it. I'll show you my faith by what I do. But you can't show me faith and what it accomplished apart from works. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? Perfect faith is obedient faith. And so faith, true faith, has to be obedient. And so James continually here says faith without works is dead. And by faith, no flesh shall be justified. Faith alone. The only time faith alone is referred to is when James says that we are not saved by faith alone. And so we are under law as Christians. And Christian works are necessary for our salvation, and obedience and works are required. Christians will be judged by their deeds or their works. And this is one of the biggest things that I think those who believe faith only should have a problem with, is because every time judgment is mentioned, it's always judgment based on what you did in your body. The way you lived your life here on this earth was the basis of the works or the judgment. Matthew 16:27, the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and he will reward each one according to his works. Not according to their faith, but by their works. John 5:28-29, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. You're going to be judged by what you do. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And so that's going to determine our salvation, what we work, the works that we do, what we did while we were here in this body is going to determine our salvation. And so that makes it imperative that we not believe in faith only, but recognize that true faith works. Revelation 20:12-13. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which are written in the books. The sea gave up, the dead were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Judgment is based on our works. Revelation 22:12. Behold, I am coming quickly. My reward is with me to give to everyone according to his word. As people read about the judgment of Christ, how can they believe that faith only will save them when every reference to judgment says you're going to be judged by what you did? And yet they say, what you do has absolutely nothing to do with your salvation. I don't see how anyone can read these scriptures and go away thinking that works have absolutely nothing to do with your salvation. Yes, we're saved by grace, but that grace should be working in our lives every day. So what about you? Do you understand that it's only by the grace of God through Jesus' blood that you will be saved? Do you also understand, since we're saved by his grace and Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, that you have a responsibility to live your life on earth for him? 2 Corinthians 5:14-15, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. And 1 Corinthians 15:10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. His grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. The grace of God that is not causing you to work for him is not going to do anything for you. It's empty, useless grace. And so we have a responsibility to God to live according to his will, according to the New Testament. And that begins with your obedience to the gospel, repenting of your sins, confessing him as the Son of God, being buried with him in baptism to wash away your sins, raised to walk in newness of life, beginning a new life of service to God, living for him since he died for you. If we can help you in your relationship with God at this time, we invite you to come as we stand together and sing.